me try that again. Is that better? It's nice to be down here where everybody else is. Josh, can you turn me down just a little bit? I'm getting some feedback. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for coming out on this Christmas morning, and many of you that were here last night as well. We're grateful for you being here and the opportunity to worship the Lord together on this happening that happens about once every 8 or 9 years, where Christmas morning ends up on a Sunday. And it's interesting, and this is not to criticize anybody that stayed home with families today, but we are in a day and age where people are choosing to stay away from church on Christmas Day and other days. And we need to continue to be a beacon of light and be faithful so that we represent the faithfulness of God's church in terms of serving Him and being together. So just a couple of quick announcements. If you have any prayer requests, make sure and fill those out on the yellow cards. If you're a guest with us, let us know. And then also, just to celebrate Christmas together, there won't be any prayer meeting tonight or youth group gathering. So there's an Old Testament word in the book of Proverbs that's the word kazon, and I don't have any PowerPoint slides this morning, so everybody's focused right here, just like you are right now. And this word kazon is an interesting word. It's spelled C-H-A-Z-O-W-N in the English transliteration of it. And the word kazon means that's it. This is it. It's one of those times where you keep struggling to find something. You're looking for the right house, the right car, the right mate, whatever the situation may be, and all of a sudden you go, this is it. And a couple of years ago, just about 3 years ago, after our daughter Stephanie got engaged to her husband-to-be Stephen, Kathy was away to Florida to be with her mom and her sister. And it was during the stage of COVID where you had to make all these appointments in order to get into bridal shops and all of that. And so the only appointment she could get was when Kathy was away to Florida, which means she got, guess who, to go with her to the bridal store. Talk about feeling like I was out of my element. I really was. And so I was watching her try different outfits on, you know, dresses, and she was looking to me, and I was sheepishly kind of nodding my head, and yeah, you know, that looks nice, and you know, you get that response, nice, or is it just okay, or is it good, or. And I'm like, this is dangerous. This is just not a good place to be. And you've heard the term bridezilla? Well, I got to watch a bridezilla form right before my very eyes. Because the clerk kept insisting that certain outfits or dresses were just perfect. And I could see the look. I knew this. As I looked at her eyes, I could tell by her eyes and her face, this was not it. This was not the right dress. This was not the right look. And the more the clerk insisted, the more stubborn Stephanie got as she was saying, this is not kazon. This is not it. Well, several months later, well, thankfully, that decision wasn't made. And gratefully, Kathy came home to take care of the rest of it. And I never had to go to another bridal store, which was a good thing. In so many different ways. But I'll never forget, on the day that Stephanie came out for me, with me to walk down the aisle, and I saw her in that bridal gown for the very first time. And I looked at her and I thought, this is it. This is it. And I want to have us think this morning together about the places and the persons, periods in human history there that are occasions where something happens that's so unique you can't describe it in any other way than to say, this is it. And we know that on Christmas Day, the hopes and fears of all of humanity were gathered into in the dream of the healing of this planet because of heaven invading earth. And last night, we talked about the rhema of God. For those of you that were here, we talked about that special word that comes, but there's another dynamic that occurs when heaven comes to earth, as Jesus came to the earth and chose to dwell among us. And Nelson and I didn't talk this morning about what I was going to share, but in his prayer, he touched on the part of the Christmas story where Anna and Simeon greet Jesus for the very first time. And so I want to read that part of the story from the Message paraphrase. Jesus comes into the temple, and it says, when the eighth day arrived, he's with his parents, the day of circumcision, and the child was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer to him to God as commanded in God's law. Every male who opens a womb shall be a holy offering to God, and also to sacrifice the pair of doves or two young pigeons prescribed in God's law. In Jerusalem at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. As the parents of the child, Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law. Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God and said, God, now you can release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. He probably said, and this is it. It's now out in the open for everyone else to see. A God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people Israel. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. Simeon went on to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, that this child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel, a figure misunderstood and contradicted, a pain of a sword thrust through you, but the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are. Then there was this other person, Anna, the prophetess, who was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She'd been married 7 years and a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayer. At the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God, and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. When they finished everything required by the God and the law, they returned to Galilee and their own town, Nazareth. There the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him. Someone has said that in that stable and in the temple, heaven and earth joined. Humanity became transparent to divinity, and all of creation sang together. In the temple of God, God came in response to the prayers of two saints who had been patiently waiting for an answer to their prayers. And this was a special time and place. It was a God time and place. Celtic Christians of old described this kind of place, this holy place, as a thin place. It's that moment where whatever it is that divides heaven and earth becomes thinner and thinner and thinner until you get to the place where you realize this is heaven. And we're experiencing heaven on earth. And there are moments throughout all of the scriptures where I think God's people have experienced his thin places, where you just get this taste of heaven and you go, oh, this is a foretaste, as the hymn says, of glory divine. Moses got a taste of it at the burning bush. There's an interesting conversation that took place among some rabbis centered around Moses' encounter with the burning bush. They asked the question, why was the bush burning but not consumed? They argued the point until one rabbi, he stopped the discussion with these words, it was burned but not consumed, so that one day, as he walked by, Moses would finally notice it. Thin places. These places where heaven is so close that we feel like we can touch it and taste it and see it. They call us to attention, and they make us notice the spiritual reality that is always and everywhere present, if only we will open our eyes and open our ears. Thin places also open up to us the thin times. There's really two concepts of time, especially in the New Testament, but throughout the Scriptures. And I apologize again for giving you Greek and Hebrew this weekend, but I have to explain these moments, these thin times. The first Greek word for time is chronos, from which we get chronological. Everything goes in order. But when everything goes in order and all time stops, and you realize this is it, heaven has now just invaded earth, that's not chronos time, because everything has stopped, and that time is called kairos time. That's the moment where God has invaded earth and he says things are going to change at this moment in time. It says that Jesus came in the fullness of time, the chronological fullness of time, but we know that there were several kairos moments that occurred in his ministry on the earth. I think I talked about it a week or so ago. Remember the story when the woman touches the hem of Jesus' garment? And for a chronological period of time, she suffered an issue of blood that caused her great distress, and she was in great need of healing. But at that moment she touched the hem of his garment, kairos happened. And heaven and earth, that place between, got very thin, and she realized she was healed once and for all. And I would guess that this morning, all of us need a kairos time. All of us need, in the midst of our story, in the midst of our days and months and years that have gone by, it doesn't matter where we're at in that chronological timeline, we need those moments where we can say, this was the time that God showed up. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind if God just showed up in a special way like that this Christmas morning. Wouldn't you like that? When the fullness of Chronos comes, Kairos comes and changes everything. It's like the moment that the angels descended and ascended on a ladder from heaven to speak to the patriarch Jacob. He was forever changed by that thin place, that Kairos moment. It's like when the sun stood still for Joshua. That was a literal Kairos moment, because chronological time came to a stop. It was like when Goliath stumbled to his death when struck with a pebble slung from the shepherd boy David's slingshot. I think the video we watch of that in heaven is going to be in slow, slow motion. You're going to see David going. And then the stones flying through the air, and then you see it hit Goliath, and that 8-foot, 9-inch giant or whatever he was, we're going to watch him just. And then there's going to be this moment of silence. We're going to see all the Israelites looking, and then there's going to be this cheer that comes out, because there's this kazon, this kairos moment where heaven and earth meet together, and the enemy of the Israelites is defeated. It's like when Isaiah was brought before the throne of God, answering God's call with the cry, here am I, send me. It's like when Peter walked on the water with Jesus. It's the moment the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. It's the moment when Jesus cries out and says, it is finished, and the veil is torn from the top to the bottom. It's the moment, the time, when the Holy Spirit falls on the first disciples and Peter declares to those around, This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the Kairos moment Joel said would happen. And at the right time, the Kairos moment, a child was born in Bethlehem. There's a lot of debate among what day it was. Probably it wasn't December 25th. But you know what? Who cares which day it was? We know it happened. We have the proof in our own hearts and because of the salvation of our souls that it happened, no matter what day it was, what day of the week it was, what month it was, we know that it happened. We know it. The angels knew it. The wise men knew it. The shepherds knew it. The stars knew it was time. And certainly Mary and Joseph participating in this Kairos moment of heaven and earth meeting, they knew it, just as Anna and Simeon knew it in the temple. Here's the thing about Kairos moments. They're God moments. You can't explain it, except that God did it. It means that God initiates a change in the universe so that the closeness that Adam and Eve had, you remember, they were so close to God that they could hear his voice as he walked through the garden. And most of us here haven't had the opportunity to hear the audible voice of God, but most of us have had those times where it might as well have been his voice. And we knew that he was so close. It's the time when God wants us to experience and participate in these moments, and these moments that we can't conjure up unless he says, here it is. And they occur when we practice our spiritual disciplines and we pray and we look at his word and we intentionally look for times to be in his holy presence. When Jesus was baptized, he said, the fullness of time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven has come. Repent, be baptized, and believe the gospel. It was at that moment he said that heaven and earth met together. It was at the moment he was at the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, that heaven and earth came together. It's at the cross when he said, it is finished, that heaven and earth came together. And whenever heaven and earth comes together, it's always for the purpose of sometimes judgment, but ultimately always redemption and reconciliation. I know I've had a few of those Kairos moments in my life. You'll have to forgive me because sometimes I forget which stories I've told. But some stories are worth telling again. But I'll tell you, one of the Kairos moments I remember very distinctly was in 1962 in San Francisco, California. My mom and dad had found this little church while my dad was in the highway patrol, and we lived for 2 years in San Francisco. Those 2 years chronologically made all the difference in my life in terms of heaven and earth and Kairos moments. Because we found this little church called Sunset Bible Church in the Sunset District of San Francisco. I still remember, because it always made my brother and I laugh, the pastor's name was Pastor Belcher. While my brother and I, my brother who's 2.5 years younger than me, as we would laugh and joke about, oh, it's Pastor Belcher again, God decided to give me a Kairos moment. Because there was one morning, I remember at 8 years old, Pastor Belcher gave a gospel message, and then he invited people to come to the altar to give their lives to Jesus. And all of a sudden, it wasn't Pastor Belcher anymore, it was Jesus. And I remember going to that altar at 8 years old, Pastor Belcher saying, young man, Doyle, do you want to ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sins? And I was trying to think of all the sins I'd committed by the time I was 8. I couldn't think of a lot, but I just remember tears flowing down my face, and I said, yes, yes, I ask him to forgive me, and I believe, and I ask him into my heart. And many of you, I know almost all of you have had those Kairos moments. Then I remember when I was 13 years old, we were at another church in SoCal, California, called Cabrillo Assembly of God. Pastor Reese was the pastor. And I'll never forget, on a Sunday night, Pastor Reese was giving us a challenge about giving our lives to God fully, 100%. And after serving Jesus for those whole 5 years of my young life, I remember he said, some of you are called to be pastors, and I want to invite you to come today and kneel at this altar and dedicate your life to be a pastor for Jesus. I had this idea in my head of what a pastor was, this 13-year-old idea. It's changed a lot over the years. But the reason I'm standing here today is because Pastor Reese put his hand on my head and he said, this young man is dedicating his life to you. Bless him right now. That was a Kairos moment that led me to this place. Now I've got one more that's actually the most spiritual of all. Because in 1975, I was getting ready to serve as an intern pastor at a church in Redding, California. Kathy and I had been dating on again and off again. She got mad at me several times and broke up and all those kinds of things. Josh, I'm sorry, this is leaking water all over your music. So I'll put it down here. Put it on your seat. So she had gone, Kathy had gone with me with my mom and dad to check out the church and the situation and this little apartment I was going to be living in. And we were very, very serious about our relationship at that point. A couple of 20-year-olds very serious about what our future looked like. And I threw out this idea. I said, you know, I think this would be a good test. How about if we just kind of cool it for the next 4 months and we'll just find out if this is really what God wants? And she looked at me and she said, that's not really a very good idea. I thought it was a profound idea. And she said, but no, because for 4 months, you're going to be in this town 350 miles away from our home and nobody will know who I am or that I exist. I'm going to go back home to our church where everybody figures I'm waiting for you. So you're going to get to just do whatever you want, date other girls and all that kind of stuff, and nobody will want to date me because they'll think I'm already waiting for you. So if that's what you want to do, then that's it. I had a Kairos moment at that moment. I thought, I better change the way I'm thinking here. And while we were in Reading, before we were getting ready to play cribbage with my mom and dad, I decided I better ask Kathy to marry me. So 48 years ago, on January 18th, on my mom and dad's anniversary, I asked Kathy if she would marry me. And thankfully, she had a Kairos moment as well and said yes. But that's what these Kairos moments are like. They're the moments where everything came together, and I do want to declare that that was a heaven and earth moment and has continued to be so for almost 47 years. What should we do when we encounter these moments? We should pay attention to what God is saying. We need to observe what's around us. We need to reflect on what he is saying to us. We need to discuss it with others and say, this is what God's saying to me. What do you think? And then when we realize there's things that maybe we need to adjust and repent for so that we can hear God more clearly, then we start planning together. We plan with others. We plan with God. We ask others to hold us to account. And then we act on what God is saying. He gets our attention. He opens our hearts with these Kairos moments. He sensitizes us to do something different from the mundane day-to-day activities of ordinary life. So I have a question for you this morning. Is God asking you to do something different that is more significant than what you generally do in this stage of time? Is he asking you to allow him to invade your life once again in a fresh new way with a Kairos moment so that you experience heaven on earth? Is maybe you need another Kairos moment this Christmas day? I need as many Kairos moments as I can get, everyone. And I think we all do. We all long for more and more of those moments where the layer between heaven and earth is so thin, we can taste it. And so we ask God for these moments. So this morning, I encourage you to ask him for more of these kinds of moments in your life. We ask him to increase our awareness of these moments. And then when they happened, we respond to all that he reveals in these moments. God's calling us to these places. May Trinity Christian Chapel, as we enter into 2023, the year of Jubilee of this very building, may this be a year of many, 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 many Kairos moments for every one of you and for everyone that we touch from this church. He's using these times to alert us to his holiness and the reality that he can make any time and anywhere holy with his presence. And the ultimate Kairos time we all know is the one described by John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word is God. And thank God, he gave us the greatest Kairos moment of all. And he decided to come and live among us and die on a cross and be resurrected so that we might enjoy the fullness of heaven on earth. Would you stand together with me? And I invite you just to put your hand right over your heart. And I want to pray over us this prayer that God, our Father, because of your Son Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you this Christmas day give us fresh and new moments of the invasion of heaven on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that not one person would be allowed by the enemy that not one person would experience the enemy stealing from them the moments they've enjoyed in their life, make them even more acute, remind them of those days, and then, Lord, assure them that they have many more opportunities to come. No matter how many more days they have left on this earth. Release heaven on earth to your people today. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.